Now on Money News, the Market Wrap. Trade with CMC Markets, the trusted trading platform for over 30 years. Trade your way at cmcmarkets.com. All trading involves risks.
So there were cooler conditions from the US markets that saw the ASX start the day in the red and stay there. The ASX 200 eventually finished the day down 31 points or 0.4% to 7,780. It was tech companies doing a lot of the damage as WiseTech Global fell 2.3%, Xero dropped 2.7%, and NextDC fell 0.9%. Seven Group's fight for construction materials company Boral had its shares dropping more than 4% to $39.62, and toll road operator Atlas Arteria hit a boom gate today, down more than 5% to $5.07. A rise in oil prices helped the energy sector, with Woodside up 1%, Santos up 0.4%, and Beach jumping 2.9%. And there were also rises of more than 1% for Brambles, Northern Star Resources and Fisher & Paykel. Here, as always, whether the market's at a peak or a trough, is independent analyst Evan Lucas. Evan, great to have you back with us here on Money News.
Good evening, Deb. How are you?
I'm well. I want to start with Premier Investments tonight because I've been trying to get my head around the whole notion of why a demerger is a good thing, but they are about to lop off a couple of their biggest brands, Smiggle and Peter Alexander among them. Why? What's the benefit?
Yeah, you sort of said it also sort of in your question. I mean, if you think about it, why would they cleave it out? Well, there's an argument to be made that Smiggle and Peter Alexander outside of Premier Investments would actually be probably bigger in value than the whole of Premier Investments right now. And you've got the reason for that, and you need to look into Premier Investments. This is what Solomon Liu is arguing. The legacy assets are a bit of a drag on the overall share price. So if you take those two brilliant companies away, and we'll get to them in a minute, if you look at those, you've got your Just Jeans of this world, Dotti, all this kind of older, slightly lower quality, I think is also the term, Deb, businesses inside it. He's also got his holdings in Maya. He's got other little bits and pieces inside it, all sort of smashed into this one vehicle. It doesn't allow Smiggle and Peter Alexander to do what they need to do, which is actually bring in new capital, expand, continue to grow overseas at a much more rapid rate.
And that's the thing, they'd be focused on those overseas markets, the
absolutely.
US and the like.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they've already shown that, you know, even inside Premier Investments, Smiggle has grown. The US is one of them, and the European business incredibly well. This will just unlock that. That will unlock that value that he talks about. It allows it to do its own thing. So getting back to your thing about lopping it off, there's an argument that by the end of it, if you lop off a Smiggle arm, the arm will actually be bigger than the whole entire sort of body. And it's the same thing with Peter Alexander as well. So it's a step in the direction that he's always suggested, that there is absolute massive amount of value that isn't being unleashed, and that's what he wants to do.
Well, my kids have got the value of Smiggle and Peter Alexander down pat, I tell you. They love those products. Those brands are huge, so we'll see how they go. And almost trying to do the opposite is Seven Group with Boral. What's the latest there?
Yeah, so I don't know, it's a bit facetious to say, but I suggest that Ryan, you know, is currently one Stokes is probably dusting off his battle paint because he's certainly not happy with the fact that the independent board members of the six board member of Boral rejecting the bid at the start of, well, the end of last week, start of this week.
Yeah, they've been laying the boot into the valuation.
Yeah, citing that report coming out from Grant Samuel. Ryan has come out today, and it is Ryan Stokes, although it's coming from Seven Group. He's very clearly laid out what he believes are fundamental flaws in it. The valuations are overdone, the way they've valued the excess, sort of particularly the portfolio around their real estate arm, I think is a fair point for him to make in terms
of
where it is.
And is that criticism justified?
Yeah, I think it is. He's right to say that, yes, the total value might be about $1.4 billion, but it would be at sale reduced by about 30% once you take into things like capital gains and a few other bits and pieces. So he's right to point that out. He's also right to point out that, again, the overall value that they're offering is you know, he's probably has said that it's slightly below because they said in the initial offer $6.25 is where they're going to, but it's $6.50 to $7.05, which is what the Grant Samuels sort of report is arguing, is well and truly over. So it's going to be an interesting board meeting, considering that the other three members on the Boral board are actually already Seven Holdings Group buyers. Mm-hmm. It's going to be quite interesting. Don't forget, Ryan Stokes is the chairperson of Boral, so he gets the deciding vote.
Yes.
So it will be very, very interesting, and would love to be a fly on the wall during that meeting.
And he doesn't often have people say no, so we'll see how that unfolds. Now, we've had the rising oil price helping a few of our local companies, but what's the outlook, do you think? Well, we keep seeing production cuts of recent years, and will that potentially see the prices climb even higher?
So when in doubt, always look to OPEC. And the reason I say that is that, again, you don't even look to OPEC. You just listen to Saudi Arabia and whether or not, you know, the 13 members are on board, or whether or not you get the one or two outliers. Normally somebody like Iran or something like Iraq might say that they don't want to go ahead with it. Mexico is another one. But overall, they're all lockstep at the moment. They're all very clearly trying to suggest that with production costs the way they are, the fact that labor overall, even in those nations, has gone up, they are always looking to extract more value. And, you know, if you listen to the kingdom, they are saying very clearly that they still want to continue with between 500,000 and 1 million barrels of oil equivalent out of the market by midway through this year. So that would suggest that not only is production cuts coming, but they're going to stay on current trend. And that, therefore, will probably push oil up in the interim. What always happens, though, is the counter to that. You've got to look at places like Norway, Canada, the US, these non-OPEC nations. They always pick up the slack. And at the moment, you've also got a presidential election this year. The US does not need, or particularly, you know, the Biden administration does not need oil to be front and center.
No.
And an argument for the Trump administration. So that is why already there are signs that they are going to release stockpiling in the interim and ramp up production to try and make sure they can catch up with the slight imbalance that's finally, for the first time in my eyes, pretty much since COVID, seen demand slightly tip over supply.
Yeah, wow, which is a rarity, as you point out. And look, I want to stay overseas just finally. Shares in the social media giant Reddit, they've been up hugely, 48% on the trading debut. What are your thoughts on Reddit? Does it have the potential to keep up with some of the other big media and tech players, or is it a bubble waiting to burst?
Yeah, this is a great question. So the argument that comes at it from the cynic and from those that have more of a bearish view on Reddit is, how do they continue to justify the earnings requirements that Reddit do? Because obviously Reddit's different to a Facebook, or so a Meta, and the way that Facebook and Instagram derive their income, which is almost purely from marketing. It's not a Google. It's not, you know, an OpenAI, therefore a Microsoft. It's obviously a forum site that has advertisement around the edge of it. And if you get into a forums that do get overly advertised, they get quite annoyed in there and they shut it down. So the argument that comes at Reddit from the bears is there going to come a point where its model is not going to continue to grow? Because at the moment it's doing incredibly well, and it is, no doubt about it, getting the kind of revenue it needs. But as you said, 48% on the first listings, highly impressive. But the earnings potential and the longer-term earnings potential is the unknown question. We'll say this, you know, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman is a massive investor in it and certainly believes that there is a very big future in it. So I would take what he says a lot better than what I'm saying. But
I don't know. You've got a good idea too, but I'd certainly take his views on board.
Yeah, and he's a long-term investor. But that is the caveat. But overall, the prospect for what Reddit is, the fact that it is not – It's not Twitter. It doesn't have what is now X. It doesn't have the conundrums that X has been. It doesn't have the current overlay of antitrust and all of the issues around the Senate for something like Meta with Instagram and Facebook and all of that kind of stuff. So that is its upside, is the fact that it is, inverted commas, clean compared to, you know, not true peers, but peers in that space.
Mm-hmm. As clean as you can be.
Correct. But again, it's the revenue question going forward and whether or not the model's sustainable.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one as well. Always good to talk. Thank you so much, Evan.
Thanks, Deb.